Got a mansion. Thank you, Miss Brenda. Thank you, Mrs. Tyner. Good singing tonight. I enjoyed that special for sure. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to the message this evening, and I'm a little bit curious. You know, I had a prop up here, and I'm going to have to see what Brother Mott's going to preach on tonight. Why don't you come, brother? If you'd have your Bibles out, I know you'll be blessed.
Ruth chapter 1 tonight, please. Ruth chapter number 1. Well, good evening. It's good to see each one of you tonight. Thank you, Pastor Goodman, for asking me to preach. And I appreciate that so very, very much. And my wife, Gloria, said she's sorry she can't be here tonight. She's had a really bad day. And she'll come even when she's feeling rough, but today she's not able to come. Before I left, she told me that she's really sorry she couldn't come hear me preach. And I told her, I said, maybe you won't miss a thing. When I get home, I'll preach the whole message to you. I won't tell you what she said. But anyway, it's a privilege to be here tonight. It's good to see each and every one of you. Ruth chapter 1, and I'm going to ask those of you that can to stand for reading the Word of God. And I think most people are familiar with the book of Ruth, and of course Naomi being the wife of Elimelech was in Bethlehem, Judah, and had traveled from there to Moab. While they were in Moab, Elimelech died. But they had two sons. The two sons married Moabite women. And later the two sons died. So Naomi neither had a husband or the two sons, only the two daughters-in-law. And we're going to pick up with that in verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Therefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband, of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there not yet more sons in my womb, that thou may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, will you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Heavenly Father, now I pray you bless the preaching of the Word of God. I thank you for the awesome privilege to stand behind this pulpit. And I pray, Father, that you would help me with what I believe you intended my heart to do here tonight, starting here in the book of Ruth. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, if there's some here tonight that you speak to, Lord, they might obey you, Lord, in whatever you ask them to do, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to preach from verse number 14 tonight of our text. But Ruth clave unto her. I'm going to preach a message entitled Things Christians Should Cleave To. There are things that I find in the Bible that I think are very, very important that you and I should cleave to. So understand with me what the word cleave means. It means to stick to. To stick to. It means to adhere or to hold on to. And that's exactly what Ruth was going to do with Naomi. She was going to cleave unto Naomi. Now, four things I want to share with you tonight, and it won't take me long. I shouldn't say that, because every time my wife says I do take too long. But anyway, four things that you and I, the Bible teaches us, should cleave to. First of all, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Men, you and I need to cleave to our wives. It is a command from the Word of God. And as we cleave, we become one flesh. But there are so many marriages today where there's no cleaving. She does her thing, he does his thing. She has her checking account, he has his checking account, and so forth and so on, and they live separated lives. And folks, that is not cleaving. It's important, very important, that the beginning of our Christian life, we realize we must cleave to our wives. Keep your, just go ahead and turn with me, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight, please. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I want you to look at one verse with me. That's verse number 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You will never have a godly love and a right love for your wife unless you cleave to her. And cleaving to her entails the fact that you want what's best for her. I've had, throughout my ministry as pastoring, I've had men come to me and say, my wife don't treat me right. My wife just don't treat me right as well. And I've had about a half dozen men whom I've told, if you treat your wife like a queen, she'll treat you like a king. Amen? And it all starts and lies, to begin with the husband. So we need to be cleaving earnestly to our wives. They need to know that. And they need to respond, and they will respond as you and I cleave to them. And then I want you to look over with me at 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3, just one verse there, as we think about cleaving to our spouse. And I'm speaking more directly to the men than I am the women. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, knowing them, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Heirs together of the grace of life. What a joy it is when a husband and wife cleave together, and they pull together in every situation. No matter what they have to face, they can face it by the grace of God together as they're cleaved together. And what strength we can draw from each other. Men, our wives compliment us, and we need to honor them for that. I could have never been the type of pastor I needed to be unless I had the support of my wife. And you know, ladies so many times seem to know the details that men forget. And so many times they're a great help to us, especially who are in the ministry. But first of all, I want to say how important it is that the Bible teaches that we are to cleave to our wives. God will bless that. You'll be happy going down the road of life together. Now the second thing I see and is found, if you would please, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 20. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse number 20, if you would please. I think Deuteronomy still my Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 20. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and thou shalt serve him, and to them thou shalt cleave. One person got it. And to him thou shalt cleave. Everybody together, what's the word?
Cleave.
Cleave. And swear by his name. We need, my friends, to cleave to our Savior. There needs to be a cleaving going on. We need to be stuck to. We need to be adhered to. And we need to be holding on to our Savior. Even though our salvation is not dependent on us holding on, because he has us in his hands. But within this life of mine that I live, with the flesh of mine is just as rotten as yours, and the world we live in and the devil, we need the strength and the help of the Savior continuously in our life if we want to live a victorious life for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want him to say unto us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, you and I must cleave unto the Lord." Deuteronomy 11:22, "The Lord your God, cleave unto him." Deuteronomy 13:4, "The Lord your God, cleave unto him." Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20, "The Lord thy God, cleave unto him." Joshua 22, verse 5, "The Lord your God, cleave unto him." Joshua 23:8, "Cleave unto the Lord your God." 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 6 says, "Cleave to the Lord." And my friends, if we're going to cleave to the Lord, we're going to find ourselves reading the Bible. And I don't mean on Sunday morning when the preacher is reading a text to us, but throughout the week. We need to be reading our Bible. We need to be involved in prayer, the simple things of the Christian life. And I've had a long time ago, it's not the deep things of God so much that we fail in, but it's the everyday responsibilities of the things that God wants us to do that's not deep. Reading our Bible, praying, living our life in such a way that it's pleasing to him. I grew up on the farm. I shouldn't let this out. My middle name is Randolph. I think my mother had an infatuation of Randolph Scott. I don't know. But anyway, my nickname until I went to the military was Randy. Everybody knew me by Randy. My whole family, all the school, everybody knew me by Randy. Now, being raised on a farm, my daddy worked 50 to 60 hours a week in a machine shop, and I had responsibilities of a lot of them down at the farm, on the barn, and livestock and several other things I had to do to take care of. And I could still remember a time or two when I didn't do what I was supposed to do. My dad got home from work, and I was up in the top barn playing basketball. And I heard my dad holler my name. And just by the way he hollered Randy, I knew that I was in trouble. I knew that I was in trouble. But many times, when I pleased my dad, he blessed me and did things for me. And you know, our Heavenly Father wants to bless us richly. And He can bless us in spite of how we live our life. Because He is God. And He can do what He wants. And He's promised to bless us. Sometimes He even uses the things that we do wrong in this life to reach others with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a message I'm working on about that. But my friends, we want God to be pleased with us. And we need to cleave to our Savior. We need to be near Him, to stick to our Savior. After all, He's the reason you and I are here tonight. He's the reason there's a place reserved in heaven for us tonight. And many of us here are a whole lot closer to heaven than when we first believed. Thirdly, moving right along, turn with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter number 17. A lot of folks do not know that cleave is used in this way, but I want to make sure we all understand it tonight. Acts chapter number 17. We find here that Paul is in Athens, and he's beholding all the different gods and even the unknown God whom they were worshiping. And Paul preached a mighty message on Mars Hill. Look at verse number 32 of Acts chapter 17. And I want to show you the results of that. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believing. Certain men clave unto Paul. Now again, clave, what does it mean? It means to stick like glue, to hear to hang on and not let go. And they went with Paul. They clave to Paul. And you know, I'd like to say this in the context of talking about Apostle Paul. In verse 34, certain men clave unto them. And you and I need to clave unto the man of God. Can I hear an amen on that? And we need to cleave to our pastor. He needs our strength. He needs our support. He needs our encouragement. You know, Brother Goodman, one of the things I hated most is right before church, somebody come up and say, listen, I got something I got to talk to you about right after church. That's the worst thing you can do to your preacher. Don't do that to him. Don't lay that on him right before he gets ready to preach. Amen? But we need to cleave to the man of God. And most of you don't know what the man of God goes through. Most of you don't know that. I raised two boys when I pastored. And I have my hands full of just two boys in pastoring. But Pastor Griblin here has four children. And he was letting this in a little bit this morning about his pet peeves, I think. But anyway, with children. But I know all about that. I've been there. But you know, we need to honor our pastor. If we're going to cleave to him, he needs to know it. Just like in a marriage, when a husband and wife cleave together, they know it. And just like when you and I cleave with our Savior, we know it. And our pastor needs to know that you're cleaving with him. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Just some verses I want to share with you. Pastor Goodman had no idea I was going to do this. If he didn't know, he'd probably tell me not to. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them. Oh, wait a minute. I still hear some pages turning. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. And you know, God has given the pastor of every church that preaches the gospel authority over the word of God to give unto you and I. And the Bible says we need to remember them that have that rule over us, whose faith follow his faith. Follow after it, considering the end of their conversation or the total sum of how they live their life. Of course, we never follow blindly. We follow by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. But when we consider the totality of their lives, then we realize we must be following after them. So important. And then look at verse number 17. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. When he preaches to us the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks to us, we need to obey what he's saying. We need to obey God. Obey what his word says. Obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Boy, that's a privilege to know that. That God will lead him through the week to be able to work on a message in such a way God knows who hearts needs it on Sunday or Wednesday or Sunday night. And we need, my friends, we need so earnestly that we would obey from the heart that which is preached unto us. Because they, in the middle of verse 17, must give an account for what they preach and what they've done. And not with grief, meaning that many disobeyed the truth. With joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. If there's grief, it's unprofitable for you because you have not obeyed the word of God or the man of God. So important to know these things, to cleave unto our pastor. One more verse. Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we want to look at one verse there, and that's verse number 17. Verse number 5, verse 17. Let the elders, and an elder, it's the same as a bishop, the same as a pastor. The words are used synonymously. Let the elders or pastor that rule well. Preach the word of God. Teach the word of God. Do it well. Do it well. Be counted worthy of double honor. Do you know what that double honor means? It means they are worthy of double what you and I make. They're worthy of double of what you and I make. And I always feel sorry for a preacher when the church monthly budget reports come out and everybody knows exactly how much the preacher makes. And how many of us will bring our W-2s and show them to everybody else and show how much we make? Amen? Hell, you got quiet on that one, folks. Wasn't no laughing to that, was it? But seriously, he's worthy, the Bible says, of double honor, especially, watch this, especially those who labor in the Word of God and doctrine. So I'm thankful that my wife and I are members of church, that we have a pastor that is worthy for us to cleave unto. And that he would know that we're cleaving, that he would know we're supporting him, that he would know we're lifting him up, not just by our lip service, but by the actions of our life. You know, some of the best comfort I've got as a pastor is from men who never said a word to me when something was going on serious. My life, my wife's life, or my family. They come up and shake my hand, and the look they would give me with their eyes said it all. I care for you. I'm praying for you. Oh, how I have drawn strength from that as a pastor myself. And then, number four. Just five things tonight. I think I said four, but I got five. I might ask six for you done. But anyway, number four, we need to turn to 2 Samuel with me, please. 2 Samuel. And we're going to go to 2 Samuel all the way back to chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And this is so important, of a truth, of a physical truth, and a spiritual illustration. David had some mighty men. Three in particular were mighty men. One of them's name was Eleazar. And look with me, please, starting, if you would, in verse number 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Alolite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines that were gathered together to do battle. So here it is. The Philistines are all gathered together to do battle with the armies of Israel. Now look at the last of verse number 9. And the men of Israel were gone away. They left. And we have the three mighty men there left, including Eleazar. Now watch verse 10. And he arose and smote the Philistines, till his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. Now, let me give you a slight illustration. You'll have to have a good imagination to make that look like a sword. But in reality, the Bible says his hand clave to the sword. Clave means to stick like glue. It means to adhere to. It means not to let go of. He clave to the sword. And a mighty battle was won. And when you read on in that verse, after the battle was won, when the mighty men, including Eleazar, defeated the Philistines, the men of Israel came back and spoiled what was left. In other words, they helped themselves to what the Philistines had. They weren't even part of it. Their hand never stayed to the sword. Their hand was not cleaving to the sword. But Eleazar's was. And the people returned after him only to spoil. When we see a physical sword that's mentioned in the Word of God, when we see that physical sword in the Bible, it's often a picture or a type of the spiritual sword, which is the Word of God. That's right, the Word of God. And my friends, one of the pieces of armor that God and the Christians, armor of God, that is, the Christians take, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17. And just as, my friends, David's mighty men were victorious over the enemy by cleaving to the physical sword, you and I, my friends, can be victorious by cleaving unto the Word of God as we fight against our own flesh, the world. This is not the same America I was raised in. And the devil. I laugh about the devil because his day's coming. His day's coming. Just, my friends, important of cleaving. We need to cleave to the Word of God so that you and I can be victorious over our enemies in the world. We need to recognize who our enemies are, beginning, of course, with our own flesh. Never, never, never let go. Hang on to the Word of God. Use the Word of God for your battles in this life. Use the Word of God and you will find yourselves victorious. Not because of what we have done, but because of what the Word of God has done. All right, last of all, number 5. Look with me. Well, I'll just read it to you. It's simple. Romans 12:9. Cleave. Stick to, adhere to, hold on to that which is good. You and I are to cleave on. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 9, the Bible says, that which is good. Do you get tired of fighting your own flesh? Are you like me and you have reoccurring sins that you're constantly fighting against, need to ask forgiveness for? Well, my friends, if we would just follow the Scripture and do our best to cleave to that which is good, the good things from the Word of God, the good things that He has for us. If we meditate on the things of God, my friends, you and I could cleave to that which is good. I really do want it said of me when I died, He was the least faithful. I want that so bad to be said of me. But there's many that started out on the road of faithfulness that could not be said at the end of their life. And folks, let's don't be a casualty. Let's not give in to the flesh or give in to the world or give in to the devil. But let's cleave to that which is good. And fight the good fight of faith. Be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there you have it. 5 things that the Christian could cleave to and should cleave to, beginning with your spouse, then your Savior, and then, my friends, God's servant, the man of God, and the sword, the Word of God, and to that which is good. Won't you cleave tonight? And if there's something God showed you you're not cleaving to, won't you come to this old-fashioned altar and He'll take care of that for you when you talk to Him because He knows what's right. Stand together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the invitation begins, I'm going to ask our pastor, Pastor Griffin, to come and take charge of the invitation. Obey Him tonight, my friends.
God has spoken to your heart about something specific. Friend, it's time to do business with God. As the piano plays, talk to the Lord. Make that commitment. Make that commitment to cleave. Brother Perry, would you please close us in a word of prayer tonight, after which you'll be dismissed.
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely day you've blessed us with. And most of all, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today to listen to your word. We do hope, pray, Lord, we take the message that you brought to us today, use it in our lives, our daily lives. Again, Lord, forgive us the times we fail you. Let us be a better Christian through your teaching and preaching and fellowship. And we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship we have here at the church. Blessings we have, a good pastor. He brings the words to us, and to the brother-in-law and all the rest of them, brings good message to each and every one of us. Again, Lord, we thank you for this, for your freedoms we have today, just to be able to be in your house and just to be able to live in the country we live in today, Lord. Be with our ones in charge of our nation, the military, and all the ones around, and just continue to give us safety, Lord. Give us time to pay you. Let's be a better Christian, Lord, just through your teaching and preaching. Again, Lord,